Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a beautiful day, and I'm just so very, very excited to have another opportunity to speak with you today. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody that's listening online. Welcome to those who are listening by phone. As always, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend the evening with myself and my special guest for the hour. To all of the people that have shared the link, I want to say thank you so much. To all of the new listeners, I want to say welcome to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine, and tell you about the archives that we have. We have an archive that's out of this world. So if you're into holistic health, if you're into spirituality, even if you're into entrepreneurship, we've got shows for you. So just take a moment, scroll down the archives, and see what you see that's good for you. To all of the longtime listeners, I want to say thank you so much for sticking with me for the time that we've been together. I mean, it's been beautiful, and I just don't want you to think for a moment that I take you for granted. I really, really love you. So thank you so much for sticking with me. Well, as promised, got a very special show lined up for you today. I had to have the drummers bring this sister in today because we're going to be talking about a topic that is very, very important. It's just a very important topic. As you know, this show is about, again, health, wealth, and divinity. Your health, your wealth, and your divinity. Well, today we're going to be talking about women's health. And my special guest is someone who's, this is her intro to Jawanza for Life. She's never been on this show before. And I guarantee you that you're going to get a lot of information today that can benefit you. And if not you, somebody that you know. So while you're listening, you can text a sister, text a mother, a aunt, a cousin, a auntie, a niece, a daughter, and tell them to tune in because this is information that they can use. My special guest today is Queen Jennifer Taylor. That's right, Queen Jennifer Taylor. And if you don't know who she is, by the end of the show, you definitely will know who she is. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Queen Jennifer is an herbalist, a doula, a Reiki practitioner, and a scientist. And she helps women rediscover their feminine beauty and find the complete path to healing. She has a varied background, a broad background in the biological sciences, and she has worked with women and young adults for over 10 years as a consultant and a teacher. She has also taught university-level biology, anatomy, and the sciences. So you know that she knows what she's talking about. And so I want to get into this interview because I've been looking so forward to it. Queen Jennifer, thank you so much for being my guest today. Welcome to Jawanza for Life.
Thank you so much, Jawanza. It's my pleasure to be on with you all this evening, and thank you for that warm welcome, and welcome everyone who's listening. I appreciate this space, and I appreciate your attention for this hour, so thank you.
You know, Queen Jennifer, again, you know, talking about women's health, as even I was just thinking about this interview that we're doing now, earlier today, I was just thinking about women. And just thinking mm-hmm. about the special needs that women have. I mean, you know, when you talk about health, women have needs, special needs, even nutritionally, maybe even that differ from men. But before we mm-hmm. actually get into the meat of the interview, just so that the listeners, you know, can just familiarize themselves with you a bit, I know everybody's always interested when I bring a guest on, well, how did they get involved in this, you know? So if you don't mind taking a moment and just sharing with the listeners, what brought you to the holistic health path? You've been teaching for over 10 years, consulting for over 10 years. What actually got you started on the path?
Well, it's interesting you asked that because I'm actually applying to a program for a doctorate in or a doctor of Chinese medicine, and so I had to write an essay, and that's what I was doing for the most of the day today. I had to write an essay mm-hmm. where I had to describe how I got to the point that I wanted to apply for this degree again. And so, you know, this is fresh on my mind, I guess, too. But basically, for me, it was, you know, I've always been fascinated with science. Like that was from day one. My mother basically told me that I was going to be an astronaut. And I know I'm not an astronaut, but she put that in my mind that science was, it is important, and it is something that's fascinating. And so it always fascinated me. I was a, you know, I love nature. I grew up in the South. So always being outside, being with animals and plants and growing my own plants and everything. And so I always had that instilled in me at a young age. But so I basically went on the science track, but I also went into more of the medicine track versus, you know, versus like other sciences, I should say. So, you know, like botany or nature and that kind of thing, even though I love that too. So the medical part came because I saw so many people in my environment or in my circle of family and friends who were suffering. And it really struck me, you know, and I wanted to help people. I have a very, and at this point in my life, I've done enough analysis of myself and of other people and research and everything to know that, you know, our energy and what, you know, how the year that we were born and the month that we were born really tells us, you know, how we're going to live our lives. And so that's part of astrology and, so I'm a Cancer, so I'm a very motherly person. And so that is my, you know, I love to help people, okay? And so that's where my interest into medicine and helping people and healing people came from. And so for me, some of the things that I dealt with that brought me more into the natural side of things, like, my path was to become a dentist, actually. So I went to college. I went to undergrad at Agnicott College in Decatur, Georgia. It's all women's school there, very small. After that, I finished my bachelor's there in biology, and then I went to Winthrop University back in my hometown in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I finished there with a master's in biology. And while I was there, I took a course called Mechanisms of Disease. And I found, and this is where it really intrigued me, that we can basically heal ourselves. We have mechanisms in our body right now that can fight disease. And so that really fascinated me more. And so I was like, you know what, I really want to, you know, I want to learn more about this. I want to learn how the body works and not just how to, you know, what to do outside of your body, but how does the body function on its own? And so I decided to do a PhD program at the University of Arizona in physiology, because physiology is how the body works. It's how the, you know, natural processes of the body work, breathing, you know, blood flow, muscle, all that. That's physiology. And so I decided to go there, and I ended up in a few different labs there. And basically when you're in a PhD program, you go through different lab rotations to figure out what you want to do, what you want to spend your next 5 years of your life doing. And for me, I got into the cancer side of things, so cancer research. And so long story short with that, I ended up leaving there before I got my PhD with a master's instead in physiological sciences. But my lab that I worked in, I wrote a paper and everything in and published, was a cancer research lab for colon cancer. And I chose that lab, and I kind of chose it for different reasons, but now I know really what that energy was coming through me was my own issues with my colon, with my diet, with my digestive system. And started to learn more and more about that and started to make connections in my own life as well with diet and the digestive system. And so that's kind of my area of specialty is digestion, nutrition, but also, you know, that core area of your body, the reproductive system. And so I decided that I wanted to learn. I'm sorry. You can stop me whenever you're ready. But it's a long
story. Go ahead. This is interesting. Take your time.
But I started to get into herbs because for me, I've always been a very natural type person. I was always kind of attracted to that, to nature. And my issues were, personally, I was very allergic to things. I would have allergies. I would have skin breakouts, which turned out to be eczema. And So I basically couldn't wear certain things. I was, you know, very sensitive, had sensitive skin, as most people probably can be familiar with. And so I decided to make my own product for my, and when I started to do that, I started to get pretty good at it. And people were asking me if, you know, they could, if I could make stuff for them. And then I started to get into using herbs instead of using, you know, to fragrance the products for my skin and for my hair. I started to get into herbs and I learned a lot on my own. And I decided, you know what, I really want to find out if this is where the true medicine it lies. You know, if this is, you know, and I'm going kind of out of order, but with the story,
okay.
But I decided then to go into get my a certificate in herbalism and as a clinical master herbalist at Natural Healing Institute in Encinitas, California. And so that's kind of where my the door opened for me for natural health and holistic health was this, you know, the certification in herbalism. And now now I can have continued with this natural way of healing through a Reiki certification and as a doula as well. And so that's where, that's kind of where I am now. And I'm planning to go further and get a doctor of Chinese medicine next year, hopefully.
Wow. That is a very, very interesting story. And, you know, those who might wonder what a doula is, even just if you could, you know, there might be people who are, and could you, what is a doula for those who might not know what that is?
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah. So doula is similar to a midwife. So you may have heard those terms used together, but midwives are actually able to provide prescription medications or provide, I guess, medical care as a doctor would. So you can replace a doctor or a physician completely with a midwife. But doulas are actually just, I wouldn't say just, but they provide more support with your, you know, mental support. They provide more knowledge. So if you are pregnant, and you don't want to have a traditional birth in a hospital, but you don't know what to do because it's not really common, you can ask to get a doula to help you to make those connections with a birthing center. You can have her there with you during the birth, obviously. That's a birth doula. There's also postpartum doulas who can be there for you after the baby, just as support, just cooking your meals for you or, you know, getting you more comfortable with the baby latching onto your breast for breastfeeding, you know, just comfort and support. We do, you know, like massaging or different positions, you know, finding your best position when you're pregnant and when you're about to go in labor, things like that. We don't actually, we cannot, you know, provide the medical support, but we provide everything else. And it's been shown that with a doula at your side, it is much higher success rates with the birth and very much lower complication rate. So,
Well, for those who heard the term before and, or seen it in print and didn't really know what it was, but you just knew that it had something to do with childbirth, now you. So,
right.
Got a question.
Okay.
And with your background in biology and physiology, how did that, you know, when you decided that you were going down the herbal path or the holistic path, shall I say, how did, would you say that that really, really helped you? I'm sure that it did. I mean, you know, just studying, knowing that side of it, actually having the academic background in biology and physiology, I'm sure really, really helped you in terms of practice. But when you think about medicine and allopathic medicine versus holistic medicine, was there one big thing that really shocked you when you decided that herbal rate or the holistic path was the way to go? Was there one thing about the whole allopathic industry, for lack of a better term, that really just blew your mind?
Yes. I mean, the background in the sciences hurt me and helped me, I think. So I think And the big thing, and I'll go back to that in a second, but the biggest thing to answer your question is the fact that most of the pharmaceuticals out there now, the main ingredient or the main constituent or chemical that they're using comes from almost probably 75% of the time. I'm making that number up, but it's probably not very far off from that. Come from herbs, come from a plant constituent. Personally, and I have proof of this, even though you can look it up yourself, but on a personal level, my experience with that is that I worked in a lab. We studied multiple myeloma, which is a B-cell cancer, immune cell cancer. And I was in this lab at the University of Arizona, and I tested a drug called etoposide. Etoposide is used for like lymphomas and multiple myeloma, and I think testicular cancer as well. But one of the main constituents of that drug is a chemical that comes from the mayapple, which is just a plant or tree or bush, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so fascinating. And I haven't done a lot of research into that, but I know that the majority of pharmaceuticals have these constituents in them that come from herbs. However,
mm-hmm.
they're taking one very tiny constituent from those herbs and using that to shift or change a certain pathway in your body. So there's just so many different pathways, right, that our cells undergo, whether it be like reproducing, you know, cell division, cell growth, cell death, all these things that happen in your body on a biological or a cellular level can be altered with different chemicals. And chemicals, you know, don't think of chemicals as like bleach or ammonia, but think of chemicals as proteins, because that's a chemical in your body. It's a structure just like anything else. And so you can alter those pathways, and what they're doing is taking one chemical from a plant, a phytochemical, and using that to alter a pathway in your system, in your body, to basically make something happen much faster, catalyze a reaction, to make something happen differently, right, or to shut something down or whatever. But they're not really, what they're missing is the entire plant that has a plethora of chemicals in it that are going to really nurture your system. And because you cannot, there's really no way to alter all the different pathways. I mean, yes, they have done a full, a full genomic, the Human Genome Project. Yes, they know about all these different genes and whatnot. But there's no way for you, if you have diabetes or if you have high blood pressure or anything, there's no way to really pinpoint or, find all the different things that may be wrong with you. So herbs have a more holistic approach, meaning that they're going to help balance everything without you really knowing what you're doing. You're just trusting and having faith and letting those herbal constituents change and nurture and restructure and rebalance your internal systems and all those different pathways. So that's a better approach, because you're not just pinpointing one thing and leaving 100 different other pathways untouched. You see what I'm saying? So that was really fascinating for me to find out that, and it really made me trust in herbs even more. And to go back to what I was saying before, is it kind of hurt me and helped me, because my mindset was very scientific, where it was like, okay, well, I need to know X, Y, and Z before I can, or, I need to know A, B, and C before I can get to Z. But I had to really step back when it comes to holistic health and looking at the whole person and not just the symptom. When I first started working with women, I offered free consultations when I first started, because I just wanted to jump right in. And I was like, okay, I need to just get my feet wet. And so when I would talk with them, I was really like, and now I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I would ask these type of questions. But I was just very, like, okay, what are your symptoms? Okay, you know, check off. I made a little checkbox. Okay, I understand that and that and that. And here's the herb for that. Here's the herb for this. And now I'm just like, no, I need to look at your entire, you know, what's going on with you, what's your life like, what's your stress level, what are your children, what are their schedules, things like that, there's just so many different components to a person's life that you have to look at. And see what's their energy, what's their being like, before you can start figuring out, okay, how can I formulate some type of medicine that's going to help them help them with their issues. And so I think that's what I was saying about, you know, it kind of helped me. It definitely helped me. Now I know I understand and I can look at things from a different perspective. A more scientific perspective, but also I had to get out of that that mindset a little bit of just, you know, putting people in a box based on their symptoms.
You know, I can really appreciate your approach to holistic health and, you know, looking at the whole being, because mm-hmm. I think that for a lot of us who are on the holistic health path, and I may even be guilty of it, and that is thinking oftentimes that diet is the end-all, cure-all for everything. You know, hey, change your diet and you'll increase your lifespan, you know, which, of course, it is a major component, you know. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, there's so many other aspects to a person's life. I mean, your environment, you know, the people who you associate with, you know, their energy, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about holistic health, that means, you know, holistic health. It's not just the diet. It's, you know, diet. It's exercise. It's, you know, again, back to energy. You know, who are the circles? What are the circles that you're running in? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you spend your day? What do you do during the course of a day? What are your relationships like? You know, are you in a good relationship? No, you could be a vegan, but if you're in a bad relationship, you know, of course that's going to have some effect on you. Your thoughts?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. That's so key right there. Just like your thoughts. I mean, I work with clients on a 3-step basis. Everything that I do is in these 3 steps. First, cleansing. Second, building. Third is maintenance or toning. So that is not just your physical body. Those 3 steps are not just your physical body. That has to be your entire body, your environment, the people and relationships that you have. Like when you talk about cleansing, you know, it's a huge thing now where people are, you know, doing all these 21-day fasts or cleanses or juicing and all this stuff. And it's amazing. It can do great things for your body and put your system in a really great state. However, just like you said, if you're still in a very toxic relationship, or you're still having toxic thoughts about yourself, self-defeating thoughts about yourself. Like, I'm just doing this because my, you know, my sisterhood group is doing this. But when I go, you know, next year, when I go through the holiday season that's coming up, I'm going to just do whatever I want. Like, you know, having those types of thoughts or whatever, you're not really going to get the results that you're looking for or the results that you expect. And so everything, you know, it does take, and I'm not saying that I can, make you change your personal daily whatever, but what I am saying is that those things do matter, like you said, because we, you know, we take in so much toxins and, you know, pollutants, and they're not just coming, they are coming from our environment and what we eat and what we put on our bodies. But they also come from our thoughts and our behaviors too. So, and we have to cleanse all of that. That's the first step, and it does take time and effort, and it's never going to be perfect. But you at least have to try. So, definitely.
You know, when you first embarked upon this path, and I know everybody, we talked about the show is going to be about reproductive health, and I promise we'll get there. But when you first went to your people, you know, your friends and family, and told them that you had decided, at some point they found out, the people that know you found out that, Queen Jennifer is a vegetarian or a vegan now. She doesn't eat meat anymore, you know. And then growing up on a farm and where it's like the staple food, you know, how was that met? How was your decision met? And because I know for myself, when I, you know, told people that I was vegan, first I went vegetarian and then I went vegan, people decided, you know, first they thought it was a fad, you know. It was like, oh, Juwan's is going through another fad. What I mean, but and I wanted to save everybody, you know. I mean, everybody that I knew that was sick, I'm sharing information with them, you know, trying to get them to listen. So come on this path, come on this path. And some didn't listen, and some are no longer here, you know, primarily, I think, because they didn't listen. But, you know, I wanted to save the world with it. You know, some people were receptive, some weren't. How was your process when it came to letting people know that, you know, maybe at the family reunion or something that, oh, I don't eat that anymore? How did that go?
I know. It's, you know, and it's still going because, you know, I've come too far to, you know, go back or to and be influenced at all. So, but, you know, I still get those, you know, you can still get those looks and those, you know, raised eyebrows or whatever, you know, at the meetings and at the, you know, parties. But I do have a very supportive family. Like my mother and my sister, they're vegan as well. And they went vegan, let's see, well, after I did, but my sister was vegetarian for a long time, like 10 years. And so, you know, I did have some of that influence already kind of there. But, yeah, but being in school, like, that was one of the biggest things, you know. You know, it's like you want to fit in and things like that, and people will be like, well, you know, why is she bringing this to the party, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it takes – and that's we're going to get to the reproductive part, and I hope we talk about some energy and chakras and whatnot, because one of the main characteristics of the sacral chakra is being self-confident and standing strong, going against the tide, having your own voice. So I really tap into that and you know, encourage other women to tap into having your own voice and having your own set of rules for your life. And I'm not trying to be preachy or anything, but that is kind of where I decided to, you know, to stand on, like, I, you know, those principles. And so, yeah. Because you have to just live for yourself. I mean, no matter what, even if your husband, and I know so many people, herbalists and, you know, wellness coaches and stuff, you know, they live this certain life, but their husband or their, you know, spouse or whatever, actually don't. Like, even my fiance, he eats fish and turkey, and I'm not gonna, you know, I mean, but he knows, you know, sometimes more than I do. He studied with Dr. Africa, and he knows all about the things that he needs to do and what he shouldn't do. There's no strife there at all. So if you, it's one thing to I don't know, I'm getting off here a little bit, but, you know, sometimes you just have to stand on your own, whether, you know, whether you are alone or not on your path, on your journey. And it, you know, it takes some time actually to get to that point, and that's okay.
You know what? And I totally understand exactly what you're saying, because when you are on this path, and especially when the end result is, I mean, we're talking about life and death here. We're talking about loved ones, people that you're trying to share information with, that it can actually literally not just change their life, but it could save their life. And when you're feeling resistance from them, you know, and especially if they do know, especially if they've heard the information, I mean, and you've got statistics to back the position, you know, and they may even agree. They even agree with it, but they're just not at that point yet. You know, it can be until you reach a point where you say that, hey, listen, I got to do what I got to do. You know, this other person, they're grown. They have to do what they do, what they feel is best. And as long as there's no strife there, you just stay on the path. And, you know, and at some point, I think when people see you living it and they see your consistency with it and see that you're not turning back and they see that it's not a fad, you know, at they come around and start, you know, they'll come and ask for advice, you know, what should I get for this or what should I take for that? You know, and hopefully, you know, the time will come when they let it all go, you know what I mean? But
And
you mentioned chakras, and we can talk about how that ties into holistic health, but I don't want to assume that everybody knows what the chakras are. So if you're hearing that term for the first time, could you give a just brief overview of what the chakras are, and then we can talk about the role that the chakras play in reproductive health?
Sure. Real quick, I'm just going to mention Bobby Hemmett. He actually also said that everybody has their own clock, their own alarm clock to opening up to consciousness, or, you know, if it's not consciousness, it's you know, understanding about things. And, you know, we all just have to let our clocks tick. And when they go off, then they go off. You know, you can't speed somebody else's clock up. Just let it go. But you can be an example, and you can live for yourself. And you can, I mean, they can speed their clock up themselves, you know, by seeing you, watching you, and being influenced by your energy. Because energy can be easily exchanged. If you're putting off that good positive energy and showing that, you know, these foods, these high vibrational foods, are helping and supporting and nurturing your body, the energy is going to be, it's going to be contagious. That is going to be contagious. And so just keep doing what you're doing. But chakras are so amazing to me. When I first heard about chakras, I just couldn't believe it, really, that, you know, how they're just so on point, kind of like, you know, your zodiac sign. It's just kind of just something that you kind of like, well, I may not believe in it completely, but it's really striking that it, you know, that makes sense. So chakras are basically your energy centers within your body. There's 7 major chakras, and then there's like 150, I think, smaller or more minuscule chakras. But they're just energy centers in your body. And so the 7 major ones, if you start out with your lower, you know, basically near your reproductive organs, there's the root chakra. And then if you go up from there, which we call that Kundalini rising or energy rising. So if you go up from there, there's different energy spots within the body. And these are like vortexes of energy. So it's always moving energy. So the root chakra, then there's the sacral chakra. The solar plexus is right kind of below your heart or in your abdominal area, stomach area. And then there's your heart chakra and your throat chakra. And then your first eye, or some people call it third eye, and then your crown chakra. And there's different characteristics of each of those energy centers. And we can, when we come to our higher consciousness or higher, I guess, understanding, enlightenment, if you know, if you know anything about like Buddhist teachings, that means that all of your chakras are aligned and they're all balanced. So not one chakra has more energy than the other. And so this is something that, you know, I've kind of gotten more deeper into with the Reiki, because we do a lot of energy work, basically. The lower chakra, I don't know if you want to continue on now with the reproductive part of the chakras. Can go ahead, or you want to talk a little bit?
We can. We can do that.
Okay.
But to just jump in and say, this is very educational for a lot of people, you know, because, again, you know, a lot of people come to this show at different levels in their awareness, their spirituality, and their growth. I remember when I first became introduced into chakras myself, I was working at a metaphysical store in Georgetown in Washington. Shout out to Earth Star Connection. They're not there anymore. But I remember somebody came in. They were doing a workshop on the chakras, and I had just started. It might have been my first week, and I was still learning about different things. And, you know, come to find out that there were different crystals that resonated with certain chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the teachers was saying, you know, pick a stone. You know, pick a stone that resonates with you. You know, I mean, this huge store with all kinds of crystals and different stones or whatever. And I was drawn to, for some reason, I was drawn to this pink stone.
Mm.
And it you know, kind of messed my head up a little bit because the song was pink, you know what I mean? And but I loved it. It was just like I just onto this stone, and come to find out that it was, you know, they were saying the pink and the green resonated with the heart chakra, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was interesting to me that this. And then, so I ended up getting the stone, wore it around my neck. I mean, you know, hey, you know, and you know, it was just very, very interesting. I think. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that's very interesting, and I can see that in your energy that you were very, you're very open and caring and loving. Just from, you know, our messages back and forth, you know, just very, you know, helpful. I think I can see that from, you know, you have a, you know, energy abundance in your heart chakra. And so, yeah, we can go through the colors. I guess, you know, red is for the root chakra, orange, sacral, yellow, solar plexus, green or pink for the heart chakra. Blue for throat chakra, and so we kind of get a little, you know, for the first eye, third eye, it can either be violet, I guess mostly violet, and then the crown chakra is white. So, and I wanted to read off this one quote that I love. This quote is by Rosalind. I think I can't pronounce her last name. Brure, I think. But she says that these seven chakras are who and what we are, what we feel and how we think and change. They're how we express ourselves and how we create. The chakra system is precisely the means by which we gain awareness. It is how we experience life, how we perceive reality, and how we relate to self, others, and the world. It is life itself. Now, some people may think like, oh, my God, that is so, that's really, you know, profound to say that about chakras. But it is your energy. Like, if you start to tap into that energy, you'll see how powerful it really is and how it really shapes your reality. And I think it relates really well with our conversation that we're going to have on reproductive because, you know, for women, our, you know, we put a lot of energy, if you think about it, producing a new being inside your body. And so we have abundant energy in our lower chakras, you know, in our lower bodies. We have abundant energy in our reproductive system that is there for us to produce a child. But when we're not producing, when we're not having children, what is happening with that energy? Is it just staying there or is it circulating, you know, and providing us with, you know, with good health and vitality. And so I actually have created a course on this topic, and it's frameworking the course. So our three lower chakras, and you know, talking about this with you and you opening up that information about your heart chakra, because the heart chakra is actually the gateway between your three lower chakras and the three upper chakras. And so the three lower chakras are actually male energy, and the three upper chakras are more female energy. And then the heart chakra is the gateway between. And so this connects so well, and I hope that I'm able to express it. I told you I've been working on my throat chakra. So I hope
doing fine.
Was that? Okay. I hope I'm able to express this well enough to help people understand how, and this is what I teach in my course, how we have been. Basically, the three lower chakras, like I said, are more male energy. Now, that doesn't mean, what I'm about to say next doesn't mean that males are like this. But you know that this is the type of energy if you know what I'm talking about. So it's basically like survival for sex, for anger, for like quick satisfaction, for animalistic type nature. That's what the lower chakras do and provide for us. And one of the main things that I always teach is that everything is balanced. Everything is balanced. No matter how microscopic, and you know that I know this, how microscopic, you know, structures in your cells, even when it comes to like electromagnetics or, you know, like diffusion across two, you know, your cell has, you know, pores in it. So diffusion across your cell, the cell membrane, like everything has to be in balance, no matter how microscopic or macroscopic. And so your energy is no different. And so your lower energy system should be in balance with your higher energy systems. And we call these energy systems chakras. And so that lower energy needs to be there. So you should feel anger sometimes. You should be aroused and want to have sex. You should want to be grounded. You should want to be thinking about your survival. And you should want to have satisfaction. Like, all those things are great. But when they are out of balance, when they are too concentrated, or when they're too expressed, overexpressed, compared to your upper chakras, which are more things like loving, which is the heart chakra, but loving, forgiveness, higher thinking, like compassion, liberation, those types of things where you're not grounded, you're just kind of, you know, you're kind of floating, that has to be balanced with that energy as well. And so, unfortunately, we have in this country, with our influences with the media, influences with fast food, with influences with, you know, a lot of negative images, everything is very sexualized. You know, I've been seeing so many posts on Facebook about breastfeeding, and people are so angry about women breastfeeding in public and all these things. You know, we've been basically kept or locked in those lower energy centers. And so that's why you hear sometimes, I want you, and I talk about this too a lot, I mention things like high vibrational. What does that even mean? For me, that means getting out of this, you know, lower energy state, which is the lower chakras of sex and anger and frustration and survival, and taking yourself higher. And you can do that with food. You can do that with meditation. You can do that with positive thinking, with positive relationships. So like we said, a holistic approach will, you know, will very well balance your lower energy chakras with your higher energy chakras. So everything has to be balanced.
You know, this conversation could go on forever. I mean, this conversation, I mean, we could talk meditation, you know, we could talk about meditation.
We
could talk, right.
I hope you're recording this, because I don't think I'll be able to say it again.
I know we said we were going to talk about reproductive health, and I guess this is laying that discussion, you know, that this is laying the foundation for a real specific discussion on, you know, reproductive health. But even because all of this plays a role, everything that you just discussed plays a role in being able to have a healthy reproductive system, chakras aligned, you know, proper diet, proper relationships, all of this plays into that discussion. But for those women that are out there, and I know you deal a lot with women primarily, who might not know whether or not, you know, they're doing it the right way. When I say doing it the right way, preparing their bodies even to give birth. They may be of childbearing age. And, you know, could you talk about, since we talked about, there are different, we'll have to maybe have different shows on each of these topics, but just the role of diet then. We can talk about that. Diet plays in the whole reproductive healthy reproductive conversation, because diet plays a major, major piece with that. I mean, when you're taking in toxins in your food and mm-hmm. it's showing up in women in their reproductive organs, you know, women dealing with fibroids and cervical cancer and, you know, all of these other things. Could you talk about the role that diet plays in having a woman having a healthy reproductive system?
Yes, definitely. And I know it may be difficult to always, and I'll just get right into it, but I know it may be difficult to always get organic foods, but we've seen the, you know, pesticides. I used to actually work in California, I worked at a research facility that tested certain. We tested these little bugs that were basically causing disease in the citrus plants and oranges and grapefruit and all that, because it was a huge, California is huge for citrus. Florida, actually, most of their citrus has been devastated by this particular bug that carries a bacteria. Anyway, but what I'm saying is that we know that pesticides are used very heavily on our food. And if you haven't, kept up with the latest about that, that's fine, but you probably have heard of bees. Colony collapse disorder is something where all bees basically die in a colony of bees. And it's been linked, people still, think that this is a controversy, but it's really not anymore. It's been linked to pesticide use. And so, Monsanto, companies like that, they basically, all these companies are basically in cahoots to make you sick. Because why they want to make you sick? So you can buy pharmaceuticals. But not just because you can buy pharmaceuticals and make them rich, but also because so you can be less mindful about what's happening. Okay, and so the food industry is really being destroyed, and it's affecting your reproductive organs, mostly from the pesticide use. That is everywhere. And so what we can do to help protect our organs, and what we can do to help to cleanse our system from those pesticides, because it may not be in your budget and in your reach to use organic foods all the time. It's not in mine either. I try my best. So cleansing is really important. Daily cleansing. What I do now, and I've taken some advice actually, I used to do a fast every month around the full moon, but now I do it every week. So one day out of the week, just fasting with lemon water. Lemon water is a wonderful way to cleanse your system. I know lemons are actually getting kind of expensive now, which is crazy, but I can see why, I guess. But the lemon water, and I like to use herbs in my lemon water as well. I use a tincture usually of cardamom, and I like to use Codonopsis in my lemon water. But it helps support the spleen and the liver, because the liver is your main organ that is going to cleanse out those toxins. Okay, you probably have heard it being used, it's a lot of times being associated with alcohol, but it does so much more than just that. It really cleanses out toxins. That in your skin are the main organs that will help to release toxins from your body or get them out of your body, and that includes heavy metals, that includes pesticide use, and so and then if you just drinking water, at least, and I recommend 2 liters a day. A lot of people say, do a gallon a day, but I say at least 2 liters a day of water to flush out your system, because your reproductive organs, and so many women now, I actually wrote a blog post today, another write-up on for a blog that I'm doing with Mama Glow, which is it's a birth blog by Latham Thomas. She was actually the doula for Alicia Keys. So she has a blog called Mama Glow. And I've written an article with them before, but I'm submitting another one now, and it's called Supporting the Sacred Womb, Mindfulness, Herbs, and Nutrition to Help Prevent Fibroids. Okay, but when I bring up the word fibroids, people get really tense, because it is a serious, I think it's becoming kind of like obesity epidemic, because it's so many people. There's like between 70 to 80% of women in their lifetime will have a uterine fibroid. And it may be small as a pea size, where you would never know, or it can be as large as a grapefruit. Okay. And so what's happening with that is that, and I hope people check out the blog once it gets submitted, but I talk about that in there, what you can do, some things that you can do. But Basically, what happens with these uterine fibroids is that your body gets out of balance. Once again, there's a hormone imbalance that can occur. And usually it comes from estrogen. Okay, so a lot of these chemicals, including like tampons, and you know, I want to stop here just for a second. I don't want to like plug my course too much. But
whatever you're working on, any projects going on, please let us know what they are so that you can take advantage of them.
Great. Well, I appreciate that because the course actually teaches you how to do all these things that I'm talking about. It teaches you how to, to detox your body, how to like make your own menstrual pads so you don't have to be dependent on the toxic menstrual pads and menstrual tampons that use bleach and use a lot of chemicals, things like that for women. And so much more, but all the chakra stuff I talked about earlier, but also these practical things that you can do every day to make sure that you have your best protection against fibroids because it's such a huge issue. But like I was saying about the estrogen is, everywhere almost. I mean, it's coming from, like I said, the tampons, or, those types of things, plastics, cleaning chemicals, even like certain like nail polish and makeup. It may not be in the estrogen form when it's in those types of products, but when it gets into your body, it can change. So basically when it comes to producing, I don't know if people know this, but cholesterol in your body is the root of all of your sex hormones and your steroid hormone, your adrenal hormones. So like progesterone, estrogen, estradiol, all that, androgens, which are the male hormones, they all come from cholesterol. So, you don't have to know anything about that, but just know that those types, one molecule can change when it gets into your body. So there's things that can happen in your body that can cause these chemicals. They may be safe when they're just, sitting on your counter, but when you start to ingest them in your skin, through your skin, or ingest them into your body, that's when you have the problems. That's when you have the imbalance that occurs with estrogen. So you have high amounts of estrogen, and these are called xenoestrogens, which are artificial estrogen, so your body doesn't even know what to do with them because they look like estrogen, but they're not really like estrogen, and so it becomes a toxin, and so your body starts to fight against it and cause inflammation and blah, 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 blah. But, there's an imbalance between these estrogens and progesterone, really, that can cause the fibroids to grow, okay? And so, and then if you're not cleansing and if you're not alkalining your body with high fruits and vegetables and leafy greens and cilantro and wheatgrass and nettle and all these very good alkalining herbs and foods, those cells the fibroid cells are going to be growing more and more and more.
This is very, very interesting. And when you think about the fact, just even just staying for a moment, even on the menstrual pads for a second, that, women, wearing those early, in, early teens, some preteens, And, up through their adult life and not ever make connection between issues that they may be having in their womb with something that they assume is safe, just simply because a lot of people feel that if it wasn't safe, they wouldn't allow it on the market. Like certain things that the Food and Drug Administration allow on the market, they figure, well, it must be safe because, they wouldn't allow it if it wasn't, but you got to remember, they allow liquor, they allow a lot of stuff that's not safe.
Right.
So I think when you
they allow cheese doodles and Kool-Aid. I mean, not Kool-Aid, the high C or drink or whatever. All that's just basically chemicals and sugar. And so, yeah, that is such an amazing and great point to make, is that you start wearing this chemically ridden product so close to your skin, for one. People forget that you're putting this up against your skin. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but your skin is the most, you know, is an absorbent more so than it is a reflectant. So it's going to absorb more often than it will, you know, reflect off or, you know, protect. So you're wearing something up against your skin, and it's coming in contact with an open part of your body. Okay, it's open there, you know, in your vagina, and it's open, you know, your digestive system is complete tube. Digestive
right.
system is open at your mouth, and it's open at your anus, and so you're wearing this something that's opening, you know, getting into your system, okay? And yes, like you said, you think it's safe, but you have to kind of think twice, I guess, about it. And another thing that you mentioned, you brought up, is the key thing here is that you're doing it as soon as you hit puberty. As soon as you hit puberty, because when you hit puberty, it's when you start your menstrual cycle. There's no lapse time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the time that you start your menstrual cycle. And so that's a very important, very fragile time, because it's going to set the course of your hormone balance, you know, for the rest, you know, for as long as you are, you know, at a childbearing age. It's going to set the course for that. And so, you know, having those chemicals right there and then out of balance, basically, and using that, like you said, all those years over and over again. And I did the same thing. I don't think that I, you know, when I had started having my menstrual cycle, that I was, you know, using a yoni cup or something. No, I was doing the exact same thing. But I understood then, you know, I started to understand, like, these things that I'm doing are not helping me. I would have heavy menstrual cycles. I would have serious cramping, headaches, and all of those things. I started to remove some things from my life and started to see the difference and see the change. And I started to become more empowered when I did. And so when you have that empowerment, you can say, no, I won't buy this, even though it's on the, you know, in Walgreens and it's on sale. I'm still not going to buy it because I don't want that on my body. I feel empowered. And I hope that is, you know, the main message that we're leaving, hopefully, with women or people who are listening, is that, you know, you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. You don't have to do what is mainstream, what's in right in front of you. I actually sew and knit and crochet. And so I made my own menstrual pads. People probably think that's so disgusting and gross, but it's really not, because once you get on a cycle that is very light, you know, you don't have that heavy menstrual bleeding. You have only maybe a 2 or 3 or 4 day cycle versus a 7, 10, 15 day cycle. You can use your own menstrual pads, and they won't go, you know, they won't be gross or whatever you think it might be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's all about,
you know,
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, well, no. Go ahead. I want you to finish your thought. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's a mindset thing you have to change as well. And I know that maybe, and that usually is what I've seen. That usually is the barrier there. Like, a lot of people know this or that. They know what's healthy. They know what to do. They know what, you know, this stuff doesn't look right. You know, this is too artificial. It's not really right. You know, I have this idea and I know about it, but can I implement it in my own life? And that's what my course actually does. You know, it's helping you to implement it. You work together, and, you know, it's basically a wellness club where we get together and work together on these types of things, and to start to shift your mindset and also shift your daily habits and your what you're being exposed to, so you can be protected. So,
you know, I want to tell one, people to know how they can sign up for your course, but I just wanted to add this point, and that is, you know, I know you are a fan of Dr. Laila Africa. You know, he's your mentor, and I remember reading his Nutricide, and in it,
okay,
I was shocked. When I read Nutricide, it was like, oh, I couldn't believe it.
He stopped everybody.
What about women hemorrhaging? He was like, look, you're not bleeding. You're not even supposed to be bleeding like that. You're hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the other things that he talked about in the book, I mean, it was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was sharing it with people, and, you know, people thought I was crazy for even repeating some of the stuff that I was reading, you know, in his book. But if you've never heard this information before, for a lot of people, they hear it, and it does seem strange. I mean, for a woman to think that her cycle does not have to be 4 or 5 days, but that it could be 1 or 2 days, you know, 3 days time, you know what I mean? Of people, they find that to be very odd, and I commend you for even having this discussion and even sharing the information that you'll be sharing with women in your courses, because a lot of grandmothers don't know what you know, so they're unable to pass this information down to their children and their grandchildren. This is a discussion that need to definitely have, and I commend you, and so definitely I want to help you to promote the courses that you're doing, because this is the talk that you know, women need to have, especially with the younger women, so that they don't grow up suffering from the, you know, things that a lot of women who did not have this information ultimately suffered from.
Right. Yeah, and that's my goal in life. That's what's keeping me going. It's hard sometimes. It's like, okay, I just need to get a job sometimes. But no, that's what is keeping me going is making sure that, you know, I'm hoping to coin this term of generational wellness. Generational wellness being where you start today, no matter where you have been in your past. Because I have a past, we all have a past, where we were. But where you start right now today and what you are teaching your children or teaching, you know, your nephew, whoever, I have a nephew. So whoever the younger person is that you have an influence over in your life, that you're starting right now to start to plant the seeds in them that there can be a different way. There is a different way. There is a natural way. There, these things that you're seeing in front of you, you know, don't have to be your only choice. You go to the doctor, like I go to the doctor, you know, last time I went to the doctor, it's been a year now, but last time I went to the doctor, I had a really bad cough. And, you know, this cough came out of nowhere. I don't know what it was all about. It would get worse in the evening, and it was just strange. I couldn't figure it out. And so I went to the doctor, and I went to the doctor because I wanted him to let me know, okay, is this a bacterial thing or is this a viral thing? And he basically didn't do any tests. He just, you know, checked my breathing, listened to my story and whatnot. I was there for about 4 minutes, and that cost $55. And so he gave me, and that was with insurance, he gave me a prescription for an antibiotic and for an inhaler. Now, if you don't know this, please, if you don't take anything else with you today, know that antibiotics are killing us, okay, from one. The antibiotics will not treat a viral infection. So if I had a virus, I would have been spreading that virus all over. I would have been, you know, spreading it to whoever I came in contact with. And if I would have gone and gotten the antibiotic prescription, I would have been wasting my money, and it wouldn't have worked because antibiotics only kill bacterial infections. And so, you know, what I'm trying to, I'm using that story because I wanted to make sure you know that just because somebody is telling you something, even me, you know, or whoever, just because they're telling you something doesn't mean that it is what you need to do. You need to first know about your body, know how the body works. And that's why I feel like I'm really grateful that I have this physiology background, knowing how the body works and how your body and also the bacteria in your body and things like that work. And, you know, I know that may be difficult for people, but just having that empowerment, having that understanding to know that everything that is put out there, everything that is supposedly good, like just yesterday in my sisterhood group on Facebook, I posted an image about Herbalife and how Herbalife has just a bunch of junk in it as the ingredient. But it has a name, Herbalife. So people think it's good, right? So we have to always take a step back and wait a minute. Don't just go for the things that are in your face. You know, even like there's so many detoxes going on right now that are stripping people of their electrolytes because they're just using them because they think it's a detox, a good detox, but it's really hurting them. And so, you know, having that empowerment to be able to teach. Yeah, I don't really know exactly what they're called. I call them detoxes. I think I've heard them. I don't remember what they're called.
Okay.
Exactly, but there are a lot of them. They're like these little powders that people are taking now. They come in little packages. There are lots of them on Instagram and all that. But, you know, they're not real herbs. I mean, they're not herbs that you can use and sustainably use as a detox. They're really just they strip your system. There was a doctor, actually, that wrote an article about them and, you know, basically put them all on blast, like, this stuff is junk. So anyway, but, you know, just having that empowerment to know that not everything that's just in front of you, not everything that the doctor says or whoever, you know, is what you need to do. You need to first do some research of your own and, tap into your own system and your own body more. I think, that's part of the holistic health, too.
Everybody, this hour has gone by so fast. Yes, it's Queen Jennifer Taylor. If you're listening by phone, then maybe we can squeeze a question in. If you like to make a comment, say hey, you know, all you have to do is press 1. And if you're listening online, the number is 347-324-5727. Again, so how can people sign up for your course? I mean, I know after listening to this interview that people like, she knows what she's talking about. Sisters out there, like, I need to talk to her. How can people sign up for your course?
Oh, great. So my website is Your Beauty in Bloom. Okay, yourbeautyinbloom.com. And they can go there and you'll see my big head there. and then they can just scroll down and they'll see where they can sign up. There's a link right there for the Holistic Life course. And I call it the Holistic Life course because it is teaching you about living holistically, but it's more like a membership. It's a group. You pay, you know, for your access to the course. Every month I add more material to the course about all these different things, add more videos, add more worksheets and workbooks and audios, and there's meditations and all kinds of things to help you break free from what I call the nonsense, but that's probably not the best word to use. But, you know, it's really about, like I said, unlocking those lower chakra energy. And whatever you want to call it, you know, it's about just going higher and being more confident. I did a survey of women to ask them what were the top 3 things that they wanted to accomplish in their health. And it was losing weight, having more energy, and feeling more confident. And so basically I said, okay, that's what I'm going to make the course. That's what I'm going to use for the course. Or that's how I'm going to make the course. You know, it's going to accomplish those 3 things. And I also did some beta testing because I'm a scientist and I have to test out things and see if they work. But I did have some sisters who tested the course, and I asked them the question. I said, will this course actually accomplish? Will women who take this course be able to lose weight, have more energy, and have more confidence? And they all said yes. And so I felt, okay, now I'm ready to launch this course. And so I just launched it on Monday. And so it's going to be open for until November 7th for you to join. And then after that, it'll be closed. But it, what was I going to say? If you are interested in getting a discount for the course, you can sign up for my email list, and that's also on my website. Any of the links that ask for your email, basically that's the email list. Okay. And so that's the course. And like I said, it's all about unlocking that energy and going higher, being more confident, losing weight too, because there's a whole section in the course about losing abdominal weight. There's a 2-month fitness guide in there where we do exercises specifically for balance. You know, we do like fire breathing. We do a lot of core work. So if you want to have nice abs and all that, you know, it has all of that in there, and also nutritional stuff as well. And if you don't know, and I know a lot of people don't know, a lot of women don't know about how their menstrual cycle works. Like, that's one of my pieces of scientific, I guess, information that I put into the course as well, is all about the menstrual cycle and how what's happening in your ovaries and on different, you know, during your cycle, during your 28-day cycle and all of that. So there's a lot of stuff in the course that I hope that is beneficial for people. And so they can go to my website, yourbeautyandbloom.com.
Do you get into the makeup piece in the course? I know I saw the video that you did on that, very, very moving. And
oh,
for those who
are
going to plug your website, Beauty in Bloom, you definitely, if you're a sister, you need to go over there and check that out. Listen to the videos. I mean, because Queen Jennifer gets into discussions that, you know, she pulls back the layers, okay? She really pulls back the layers. So, because a lot of times people are wearing masks and they're walking around, and like you talked about, they're hurting, and they really need to have real conversations, you know, like you said. So when they look in the mirror, when everybody's gone and they're the only one there, and they're looking at themselves, and they're there with them, that they can love who's looking back at them when they look in the mirror. So I want to encourage every sister to go to, definitely, if you're on Facebook, check out Your Beauty in Bloom. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, Your Beauty in Bloom. And that's basically, you know, thank you for listening to my video, because I did, you know, that was a long video, like almost an hour long video, and and that was at the end where I got emotional about that, because that's one thing that I had to deal with is taking off this mask, even though I didn't wear makeup, but I still had on a mask. About being real with myself, you know, and so I won't go into it, but that's you know, I felt kind of ashamed about sharing that video, because I was like, people don't think I'm weak if I'm crying on camera. But no, I was like, you know what? People need to hear this part too. And I'm glad you listened to that. So thank you for bringing that up and sharing that too. But yes, it's Your Beauty in Bloom. And, you know, it means just that. Your beauty, you're a lotus, you're a goddess. And you have this seed within you. And this is the stuff that, I'm glad I'm able to talk about this, because I type it on my website and it just doesn't have the same effect as expressing it and sharing this energy behind it. So so basically, you have the seed within you that sometimes doesn't get watered. Sometimes it gets, you know, ignored, or you don't shine a light on it. But once you start doing that, once you start nurturing that seed, and it is in your lower chakras, it's in your womb, it's in your womb. Once you start doing that, you'll start to bloom. And you'll start to grow, and you'll start to, you know, be beautiful. And not just say, you know, a vain beauty, but you will start to be beautiful in every aspect of your life. That's what we talked about at the beginning, every aspect. Your relationships will be more beautiful and harmonious. You have more, you know, I talk about how you'll be more attracted to different foods, attracted to more whole foods and healthy foods for you. So, you know, you'll start to just bloom and be, you know, be more beautiful and have a more beautiful and harmonious life. And I'm working towards that, and I've, you know, starting to bloom myself. And so I want to have other women also experience that. So that is Your Beauty in Bloom.
Well, again, I commend you for the video, because, and I want, again, to encourage every sister to go over there and check it out, because in it, you allow yourself to be vulnerable. And I think for a lot of people, don't do that. You know, they feel like they can't. Mm-hmm. There's this that if I let my guards down, I'm going to be attacked, you know. And for so many sisters, they keep their guards up since puberty, you know what I mean, for so many different reasons, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And them to allow themselves to be vulnerable, to let somebody see them with the emotional mask off, and, you know, that's just the emotional mask, not to mention the physical makeup mask, but the emotional mask off and vulnerable is a gift. It really, vulnerability is a gift. It's a gift to be able to just be.
Mm-hmm.
Be. You know, and I know we've gone over the hour, and I'm good with time, you know, but I just want to just, you know, in anything that you would like to leave our listeners with today? You know, I know we talked about reproductive health. We just laid the foundation. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And so if you'd like to come back, you're welcome to come back and be a guest, and we can talk about a host of other things because, this is holistic health. There are a lot of different components to it, and we can definitely have you back on if you're interested to talk about other aspects of your work.
Oh, yes, definitely. I would love to come back on. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate it. And see, this exchange of energy right here, this is, you know, we are both very, I think, balanced people. And, that's how you can tell. And I hope that people are seeing that, you know, also that we are having a nice exchange. And, you know, your energy is masculine and my energy is feminine. And we're having this nice exchange because we're balanced within ourselves, but also because we have opposing energies that are also can balance each other. And so I appreciate this conversation, definitely. And yes, I'd love to come back. But, you know, I like to leave with quotes, but I don't have my quote ready. But there is one thing I wanted to just mention, because I love other people and how sometimes they can express themselves too. And there is one thing I wanted to read is this. I've been reading this book about energy of money, which is a little bit off of holistic health. But there's a lot of interesting things in here that relate to your, just energy and everything is energy anyway.
Is it called
The Energy of Money? Yep, The Energy of Money it's a spiritual guide to financial and personal fulfillment. And it really is a personal fulfillment book as well. So she mentioned...
I actually have it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
go ahead, yes.
I just started reading it, and I love some quotes in here. I've been quoting them on Facebook. But one thing she does say is that our own consciousness changes the way we perceive our life and the world around us. So that's one thing is how we see things and how we experience things and how being mindful. You know, people think when they see herbalist in my title or whatever, they just assume that, you know, it's all about herbs for me. And it really is. But I think I became mindful because I became an herbalist, because I saw that, being natural and being one with the earth and one with the universe, it just opens up so much for you. And I use herbs as a tool, but it's really about going back to nature, going back to your roots, and your roots can be so deep that they become universal and they become, you know, something that is, you know, beyond you. And, so your reality can change and can shift just by your thoughts and just by your commitment to those thoughts and kind of thinking about, you know, in the course I talk about, I say meditate on this. Because I don't want you to just take this information and run with it. Meditate on it and figure out, okay, how can I incorporate this into my life? What does she mean by this? And what does this mean? And what does that mean? That's how I came to this point where I'm at now. I question everything. And so that's something that I encourage, other people to do as well. And I won't go on. I can talk forever. I want to leave that, question everything, meditate on everything, go within and change your reality for the better. So,
wow, this has been a very, very powerful, powerful show, and I want to really, really thank you and applaud you for the work that you're doing, because to be able to give of yourself, just to give of yourself to help other people, just like you talked about energy, the positive energy that you're putting out, you're making actually this planet better, and I encourage you because I know that oftentimes, it's like the goal can be so large, there's so many people to reach. For every person that on board, there's 10 others that you got to reach, And so I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, Each show that you do, each class that you teach, it's benefiting not just yourself, it's benefiting us, And so for the work that you're doing, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, my sister. I bow to you because, again, I know that, this work can sometimes, it can be daunting and, it takes perseverance to keep going, you know, when the days aren't always sun shining and bright, you know, there are days, we have
mm-hmm.
our days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just encourage you to keep going. And if you would, before we go, because I'm a big proponent of sharing information, could you talk
mm-hmm.
about just the need for people to share this information? I mean, they're hearing it, and
yeah.
just even to share it on their Facebook pages, on their social media, I mean, all they have to do is just click share, and, you know, somebody else is going to get it. So could you just
right.
talk about the need to share, because in sharing, you're giving.
Right. Yes. And I think I'm the worst at sharing things. And I apologize. I didn't share this beforehand, but I'm definitely going to share now, obviously. But yes, sharing, and also writing comments or writing reviews. If something touched you, something, you know, stood out to you, or if you didn't like something that I said or anybody said, say something, speak up, speak out, because people don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. I can't really know what you're thinking unless you're in my presence. So, you know, speaking out, sharing, and give, like Juwanza says, you know, it is giving a gift to somebody, because, you know, you never know what people are going through. So giving them something to, you know, putting that energy out there, they may receive it because they need it, because they're looking for that, and they might not even know that they're looking for it. So they have, you know, a lot of times I scroll through my social media, Facebook timeline, and I see things on there that, like, five different posts are all aligned and are saying the same thing to me. That's not a coincidence. It's because I was looking for that subconsciously. And so the same thing might be happening to you. It may happen to somebody else. And if it's happening to you, then you know it's going to happen. It's probably happening to somebody else too. So go ahead and share it, so that if they see it, that means that they needed to see that. And so it may help them. And, you know, and it's always an exchange of energy too. So if you're giving, then you shall receive as well. So if you're giving with good
yeah.
heart, then you shall receive. Yeah.
That's a great quote. Give and you shall receive.
Yeah,
you know, on that, I just want to again say thank you so much to all of the listeners. I want to say thank you again for taking time out. I knew this show was going to be awesome when I was preparing for it. I just didn't know how awesome it was going to be, you know. So, again, to you, my sister, you know, I just, you know, I thank you. I thank the Creator, you know, for the work that you're doing. And may continue to open doors for you. And if there's ever anything that I can do to help you to promote what it is that you're doing, just let me know. And again, I got to have you back on so that we can talk about some other components here, because we're talking about holistic health. And I know that the listeners got a lot out of this information. This show is power-packed with information. I mean, Queen Jennifer laid out a lot of powerful, powerful nuggets. And so, you know, if you like it, you know that your friends are going to like it. So definitely share it. And sister, I just want to say thank you. It was great. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So again, I encourage everybody, make sure you're on Facebook, go check out Your Beauty in Bloom. Again, that's Your Beauty in Bloom. Find out how you can sign up for the workshop, not the workshop, but the online course. Any other projects you work that you want to tell everybody about before we go?
Oh gosh, so many. Yeah, I do have a webinar coming up next Tuesday. If you're in the Maryland area, I do have a workshop, an herbalism workshop coming up in November. November 12th, we're doing in my women's group on Facebook, we're doing a 12 days of healing. So just so much. I'll be posting. Yeah, so just follow my Facebook and join my email list, and that's where I give a lot of information on there about all the different events I have going on. So, yeah, I appreciate the support, and thank you so much. It has been a wonderful show. I didn't know I had all this in me, so I guess I need to continue to let it out. And I would love to be on another show talking about digestion, which is – I love reproductive, but my digestion is my real area. I think this is – I love that.
Okay.
Too.
Well, it's
yeah.
been, it's, so Let it be written, so let it be done. I'm gonna get with you, and we'll find out what your schedule will allow for, and then we'll get you back on as soon as possible, everybody, to talk about digestion, healthy digestion. I mean, because, again, what we eat is not just what we eat. It's how we eat and those digestive organs to make sure that they're healthy, they're doing their job properly. I just get the feeling that you got so much inside of you that's just waiting to come out. I know you know a lot about a lot of different things, and so, you know, thank you for being open enough to share that with our listeners, because we need the info, and you bring it in a very light way, and so, you know, it's not judging, you know, or anything like that, nothing. So you don't make people feel bad about where they are, be great. Queen Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
Can you hear me?
Everybody.
Thank you.
That is Queen. It's been a powerful, powerful, powerful interview. Again, make sure that you go to her Facebook page, Your Beauty in Bloom, definitely. And definitely sign up for the course. Sign up, get the discount, you know. So, it can be a win-win. So, everybody, again, I really appreciate your time. Make sure that you share the links. Please go down the archives. We've got shows on spirituality. We've got shows on entrepreneurship. We've got shows on health and wellness. I mean, this is if you're into spirituality and you're into holistic health, then by all means, take a trip down the archives and see what's there for you. Queen Jennifer, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much for your time. I'm going to let the drummers take her out the way they brought her in. Okay, so everybody, all rise. Queen Jennifer is in the house. Thank you so much for your time, my sister. I'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Everybody, you're listening to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?